Stephanie, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Stephanie.
What is again? They say you talk about your past, present, and future, what it's like now. My past. I came here when I was 14 years old to Canada. I came from Grenada, the West Indies. And I came to live with my mom, who was already living here. And 2 days later, they told me I'm going to go live with my aunt because my aunt loves me and cannot have any children, so I'm going to go live with my aunt. So I went to live with my aunt, and needless to say, that didn't work out. So I bounced back and forth from my mom to my aunt for a good 2 years after coming here. And then finally, I ended up with a social worker because, of course, I'm a teenager and don't live to be a mother. You get with a social worker. Then I was placed in a foster home. And in this foster home, I met a bunch of friends. And, well, that's when my career in drinking and everything else started out. From that foster home, we were kicked out of that foster home. Until this day, I was kicked out because of my friend. She was fighting with another girl, and I just went to the park to fight. But I got blamed for it, too, so I got kicked out. I moved back to my mom's house. I didn't stay there very long. I stayed there for about 4 months, and then I left it again, and I ended up in my own apartment by the time I was 17 years old. And that encouraged me to live the life that I always wanted to live. No rules, no regulations, no nothing. Just do what you want to do. And that's exactly what I did. It landed me into a lot of trouble. But thank God to say I never spent any time in jail for it. I learned how to shoplift very well. I learned how to drink very well. I learned how to manipulate people and use men very well to get what I want, not to benefit them, but to benefit me. All that to say at the end of it was just me like holding the bag. I ended up with 3 children, whom I love very much. They all with 3 different fathers. And I broke the men's heart very well because, you know, I always was the one that said, well, before you cheat on me, I will cheat on you. You're not going to come and tell me that, I'm sorry, honey, but I've been having an affair. Those things don't go well with me. It's like, stop, wait a minute. I was the one that was doing it. Okay. And after all that said and done, I remember one of my friends while I was drinking, I had a girl child in 92, and she said to me, a month after my baby was born, it was in January, we went back out to a party, and she said to me, and of course I picked up a man, having drove me home and all that, and she said to me, you know what, I don't want to be your friend, you have a girl child, and I don't like the way you live your life, and I don't want to be your friend until you learn how to smarten up. But I didn't understand what she was saying to me because to me, I'm like, what am I doing so wrong? I did the same thing all the time. Like, what's your problem, you know? But after coming into these rooms, I realized what she was telling me. She was just telling me, take a look in the mirror and change your behavior. I only learned that in this room. How I got into these rooms, one night after a party, after being wasted and going to Picasso for breakfast, I got off and I went to my husband's house, whom we, same address, but we didn't live together, it's only for show. And he wasn't there, he was at my apartment on Walkley. So I decided to walk from West Broadway, drunk, 5 o'clock in the morning, from West Broadway to Walkley. And I was trying to find that opening behind Concordia University, and I couldn't find it. And it was dark. And I panicked. So I saw a house. I walked back to the house. It's all gate. And I hopped the fence and ripped up my leg and ended up in the hospital. Thank God there was somebody doing a paper route that I asked him to call me an ambulance. The ambulance came. I got into the hospital. They stitched me up. I didn't even want to know how many stitches I had. But all I know is I saw blood. And if I didn't stop drinking or do something about me, it will be the end of me. I will die. Before that happened, I always wanted to stop drinking, but then when the friends came over and the alcohol came over, I would always be, I wouldn't have too much. And then as soon as what was in the house was finished, we would be off to the bar. And that was me saying, I'm not going to drink too much. But I was always off and running to the next drink. I got to be friends with the owner of the bar that when I didn't have any money, just reel me a tab. And whenever I got my pay, I went to and I paid him. Sometimes it was so boring at the bar that if there was nobody there, they would even send somebody to pick me up so I can come to the bar, you know. Didn't matter who the kids were left with, because by then my son was old enough to babysit his sisters, so that was okay. No, not when the alcohol has been removed from your head and you can see clarity. Those things were not okay. Coming into these rooms, I learned what my grandma had been teaching me before I left home. She teach me how to respect people. She teach me when you see somebody, you say hello. She teach me that no matter what you're going through, you speak to somebody. And she's the kind of woman who woke up on her knees in the morning and she went to bed on her knees. And being a little girl growing up with her, that's what we did. We all prayed with her and we prayed before going to bed. Coming to Canada and not having her around, even though my mom was around, those things wasn't good for me. It was no business of mine if I went to church or not. It was like, who cares? But coming into these rooms of AA, I find that what she's been teaching me was not to depend on other people to make me happy, not to depend on other people to make me a dollar, not to depend on other people to get satisfaction, but to depend on God, to pray, to be humble enough to ask for things, to ask for forgiveness, to be humble enough to reach out and speak to God when no one else is listening, when you don't have enough, you pray. And these rooms have taught me again. They have reconnected me with God, the God of my understanding, that when things are not going well, you pray about it. When you want something and you can't get it, you pray about it. And eventually it comes your way. I'll just give you a quick example of that. I have three kids. I got married twice. My second husband, who's not the father of my kids, he abused them. And he sexually abused them. And I just thought of many different ways of how to get even with him. I actually thought of seducing him, tying him up, and pouring hot oil on his body and just watching it slowly dissolve into him. I thought of many ways of how to kill him. And when I told someone what I was really thinking, they turned around and told me to pray for him. I was like, are you fucking crazy? Did you hear what he just did to my kid? What the hell? Pray for what? I'm like, what kind of God do you have? But it's not the same one I'm praying to. And then I walked away, and then it's like, I was really angry. I was like, I ain't fucking praying for that. Pray for him to go to jail. Yeah, but not for him. And then 2 days later, I found myself less angry. And I started praying for him, but in the sense that God will help him and God will do to him as he will, God will. Because at the end, to me, life is a big circle and everybody gets there somehow or the other. So I left it up to God. My kids got counseling. They got counseling from the social worker. At first they disagreed with them getting counseling, but then I pushed it and I said, I want the counseling, so then they received their counseling. And they were able to speak about it, and I was able to speak to them about it. And that's because of the program. If I was out there drinking and this had happened, I know for sure I would be in jail because I would have attacked him. And my kids will not have me with me. And I'm happy that I have this program, because if I didn't have this program, I don't know what I would have done or where I would be. I know one thing for sure, I would be dead. Because I'm not an easy person to stop. I have this idea in my head that I should do something, and it doesn't matter who gets in my way. I will get over you or around you or under you to do what I want to do. And that's how I've always lived, and it's not the right way to live, especially when you have children. Being in the program has helped me a lot, but in the sense that I learned one thing. I learned that my past was never a mistake. I learned that my past is my past. It's mine to be proud or ashamed or guilty of. It's how I deal with it. But one thing I know for sure is the life I lived back then, I will not live it today. And I'm not proud, but I'm not embarrassed about my past. It's my past who brought me to where I am today. Today I can tell someone no and don't feel any way about it, because it's no I really want to say. Today I can say yes, I will do something, and I would really do it because I want to do it. I wouldn't do things out of guilt. I wouldn't do things because I would be ashamed. I will do it because it's the right thing to do. I learned in these rooms that you don't justify anything. You do it because it has to be done. Today, I'm able to hold a job, and I wasn't able to hold a job before. I'm able to hold a job for the past 4 years. I've worked at the same place. And one morning I went to work, and this is last year, August. I didn't work the day before, and the next day I went to work. And the lady put someone else to tell me, one girl that was there she's only been working there a month, tell me that I shouldn't come to work today, I should come back next week, Monday. And to me, like, I've been working there for 4 years, and this person just started working there a month, and you're going to tell her this to tell me. I got a cell phone, and I got an answering machine at home. And you're going to do something like that? I just thought it was just disrespectful. So I walked away. I walked into the unemployment office, and I looked for another job. Because A has taught me that even though I may be afraid, don't be afraid of my fears. Because I will never find out what's out there, if it's for me or not, if I don't take the first step forward. So I went and I looked for another job, and I got a job the same day. And I've been working there ever since. And on Tuesday, I have to go see the owner of the daycare because I don't like the way she's handling things. And she could fire me, or she could tell me, go, but there are things that should be run properly, and if you have an establishment that focuses on kids, you should put the kids first. What I'm saying is, she bought a new computer for photocopies to set up for everyone to take photocopies for them to use for the kids. The group I have is going to be starting school in September. They need to learn to practice their writing. They need to learn certain things. And she does not have that out. She bought it over a month, and it's still not set up. And I don't agree with it. So I told them, I'm going to go look for another job. Now, it's easier for me to say that. And I did. On Friday, I went for an interview for another job. Before, I would have just blurted out and just say, like, you know, just yell and scream and curse and carry on. But no, I told her what's going on, and I told her I'm not happy here, and I'm going to go look for another job. Now, on Tuesday, she wants to sit down with me to find out the things that are not making me happy. Now, you guys taught me how to communicate. I'm still learning that. It's a daily process for me. I'm still learning that. But at least I have the guts to stand up and say, well, this is not going right. You know, everyone in that daycare has been there longer than me, and no one has stepped forward to say what's really going on. And I can lose my job, or I cannot lose my job. But the point is, because of these rooms, I'm willing to take the steps to sit down and say, this is not working out. So That's what I'm going to do. I've learned how to be faithful in this room, to have a relationship with a man that works. It's an ongoing battle with the fights and the battles, but with every relationship, you're always going to have a disagree and an agreement. But I'm learning how to be faithful, because you've taught me to thine own self to be true. And once I realize how much I love myself and how much I have to give and how much I have to offer, then I can offer it. Couldn't do that before because I was too blind thinking about the selfish me and what will he think and what will this person think and that person think. And all that shit don't matter. All that matters is as long as I'm happy with myself, as long as I love myself, as long as I continue to forgive myself for the mistakes I made, not for what someone else made or what someone else do. It's all about me. They say it's a selfish program. Yes, it's a selfish program. Because you learn how to forgive yourself, you learn how to trust yourself, you learn how to give love, and you learn how to offer love. And that's what these rooms has been teaching me. I was a GSR for 2 years, and I learned a lot from being a GSR. I learned that by going to a service seminar where they teach you how to do service in AA. I didn't know what I was doing when I got into the GSR. I didn't even know what those words mean. I learned what it means. It means general service regret for the group, for the people, and for everyone. I mean, you don't have to actually be a GSR, but you can go to the service seminar and you will learn about AA. I learned why the triangle is upside down. I learned why the groups are at the bottom, why the groups are at the top, and why everything is the way it is. I learned where the money that I put in the basket goes. I learned what they do with the literature. I learned who wrote the literature. All that from being a part of AA and attending the service seminars and meetings. It's funny that I'm saying this, but, you know, if I pictured myself 5 years from now, standing in front of a room, saying that I'm an alcoholic and I couldn't manage my life, I'll have the best laugh possible that anybody can get, because I never found myself like that. And I went to a women's intensive the first time I came into this room. And a women's intensive is when you go away for the weekend and you go from Friday night to Sunday at 1 o'clock and you talk about the steps and you work the steps and you understand what the steps is. And I didn't know what it is. All I know, it was a bunch of women going away for a weekend and I wanted to go. And I couldn't understand why I wanted to go, because I hated being around women. I find they were so critical. They're all on the period at the same time, and they're all so bossy, and they're all so pushy. And why would I want to be around a bunch of women? But I went. And that's where I truly understand that I was an alcoholic, because I was no different from any of those women in the room. I listened to their stories, and they shared and they talked to me, and I didn't know any of them. I went by myself. It was the first time I came into these rooms, and I went by myself. And I got to know a lot of them whom I'm still friends with. They explained to me what their steps meant. They explained to me what daily living is. They explained to me what forgiveness is. They explained to me about looking in the mirror and looking back and waiting to hear that little voice say, I love you. They explained all these things to me. They took the time to listen to me and made me realize that I wasn't so crazy in my head when I hear those little voices. It's just me talking. It's just me. When I ask somebody something, mainly myself in my head, and somebody talks back to me, it's just, they told me it's God talking back to me. Me, I think it's my conscience. But they said it's God talking back to me. And I learned how to listen to myself. I learned how to be a better woman in this program. I'm proud to say that I'm an alcoholic, because I'm proud of my life today. I'm somewhat proud of my life in the past, but I have a better life to be proud of. I have a lot of things to look forward to in life. And the only how I can look forward to my life is if I continue to come to my meetings, if I continue to work my steps at a daily basis, especially when somebody comes in your face and you really want to just reach there and just you have to learn how to be patient. And you get it from in these rooms. You don't get it from out there. They're put in your path out there so that you can learn what you have in here and take it out there so that when somebody steps to you, you can understand where they're coming from. And somebody always taught me, remember, you have a program. That person may or may not have a program. So you have to work twice as hard to keep your mouth closed when somebody talks to you and learn how to listen. I'm learning how to listen. I'm learning how to appreciate life. I'm learning how to live. And only because I was willing to admit that I was an alcoholic, I can manage my life. And with the help of God, I could. And with the help of you guys. Today, instead of learning how to live long years, I'm learning how to add love into my life so I can live longer with love. And I thank you guys very much for listening to me. And I just want to say one last thing. You know, it's rare that you come in here in a group of AA and you find people so willing and loving. Yesterday, I went to my maiden and I was just explaining that I've been going for a job interview. And someone in there heard what I said. And they gave me their business card and they said to me, if you ever need training or going for interview, I offer a 2-hour session and it's free. Now where am I going to get that help if I don't stay in these rooms? Thank you very much.